Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. And as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit will direct our thoughts so that we might hear and understand those things you want to say to us this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do sit down. Well, today we're celebrating Palm Sunday. And yet, strangely to us, when I was thinking about Palm Sunday, I thought there are quite a lot of anomalies associated with it. For the past few weeks, we've been observing Lent, a time when we recall the temptations and the hardships of Jesus, a time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of self-denial. And then next week is Passion Week, when we remember Jesus preparing himself for his suffering and his agonizing death on a cross. And then suddenly, in the midst of all this, we have this day of celebration, when we sing hymns of praise, when we wave palm trees, palm leaves, when we'll process through the town. It seems a little bit odd when we've been so sort of downcast, when our church has sort of been stripped of flowers and everything, and suddenly today we're having a day of celebration. I think there were anomalies also on Palm Sunday itself. Here they are, the people following Jesus were welcoming him as the Son of God, a king. And he's riding on a donkey. That's surely not right. I mean, if you're welcoming a king, he should be riding on a great horse, a charger, shouldn't he? And then the crowd with him are praising the Son of Man, the Son of God. And yet, suddenly we hear that the crowd actually are saying, but who is this? There's confusion. Who is this person that we're all celebrating entering into Jerusalem? We're told that the whole city was stirred by the occasion. And yet, they were totally unsure who it was they were celebrating. And so they asked the question, who is this? And interestingly, throughout Jesus' ministry, his 3 years, that question came up over and over again. Who is this? And I think, particularly as we're approaching Easter, surely we should try to answer the question, who is this? So let's think about it, shall we? What did people say about Jesus in his day? What did Jesus say about himself? What are people today saying about Jesus? So what were the opinions of Jesus in his day? Well, as we read in our reading, when that question was asked, the crowd replied, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And in a way, they were confirming what some time before this, when Jesus was with his disciples in the northern part of the country in Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter answered, "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Perhaps some of the people of the day thought he was to be their new earthly king, someone come to liberate them from the Roman oppression. Perhaps some recalled, in fact, some 200 years beforehand, there'd been a man called Judas Maccabeus. He'd arrived in Jerusalem having conquered the pagan Syrian armies, And he was welcomed in a similar way with people waving palm branches. Perhaps this Jesus is another Maccabeus who's come to liberate us from the Roman oppression. For others in Jesus' day, he was just thought to be mad. Some of the things they said about him were rather unflattering. The Jews accused him of being a Samaritan, which they couldn't have said a worse thing in those days at all. It was entirely derogatory. They accused him of being demon-possessed. In other words, he was just a madman. But for others, he was somebody they were expecting. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Again, at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Well, who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What did Jesus say about himself? As we read through the Gospels, we never read Jesus actually saying, "I am God." Although it's interesting, actually, some of the Jews nevertheless, in fact, accused him of claiming to be God. However, when Jesus accused him of being demon-possessed, Jesus said these words to them, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Now, perhaps that to you doesn't seem to be that significant, but it really offended the Jews. Immediately, they wanted to stone him to death. And the reason for that was because they realized he has spoken blasphemy. He'd claimed to be God. He'd said, "I am. I am." And they remembered, of course, that years ago, when the people had turned to Moses and wanted to know what God's name was, Moses had asked God, "What am I going to tell them? What is your name?" And God had said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And now Jesus is saying exactly the same. If you want to know who I am, I am. I always was. I am. I always will be. Because I am God. Well, what about opinions today? Well, I'm not going to tell you anything new in saying that for many, it's just total ignorance. Jesus is a word used to express exasperation, a swear word, if you think. I was listening to J. John, who some of you may well know. In fact, we were talking about J. John just the other day. And he was telling us that once he was in a taxi going through London. And London was very busy. And of course, forever, there were people who were braking in front of the taxi. There were people who were cutting in front of the taxi. And every time this happened, the taxi driver would shout, "Oh, Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" Eventually, John said to the taxi driver, "Do you know Jesus? Actually, he's a friend of mine. Perhaps we should talk about him." And you all know, if you've heard J. John, he took many opportunities like that to speak of Jesus. But that illustrates to us, doesn't it, some people's opinion of Jesus, just a way to express your exasperation. And I'm sure today, if we were to ask many children, "What's Easter all about?" I know some of them would know the real meaning. I hope the children at the back of church know the real meaning of Easter. But for many, they'll tell you, "What's Easter about? Well, Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. That's what Easter's about." If you asked other people, they would say, well, Jesus is just irrelevant. I mean, he's like many other myths, isn't he? Interesting to think about it, but not important. Just forget it. It's something in the past that we don't need to worry about at all. And then what's very common, a lot of people would say that Jesus was just a good man. He was a very good man. He taught good things. He's been a great influence in history. But he wasn't anything special, not what Christians say he is, the Son of God. And therefore, it's really a good thing to listen to what he said, to understand his teaching, to follow the way of life he suggested we should follow, love God and love others. Such people actually have come to be known as ethical Christians because they follow the ethics of Jesus, but little else. Now, some of you will know about the readings of C.S. Lewis, probably particularly his Narnia books. But he read a book called Mere Christianity. And he told us this: just to consider Jesus as a good man is not an option. The claims Jesus made about himself that he is God means either that his claims are true, or that Jesus was totally deluded and mad, or that he was totally bad and a deceiver. And to quote C.S. Lewis, he put it like this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said could not possibly be a great moral teacher. He'd be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil in hell. You have to make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. But don't let us try to come up with any patronizing nonsense about Jesus being just the great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he never intended to. For some of us, I guess, I hope for all of us here, Jesus is what the Bible tells us he is. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is God who took on human form. If, however, we are to accept that claim and believe what Jesus told us, then it has very total consequences for us and a great claim on our lives. If Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is God, he has a total claim to be the Lord and the Master of our lives. This is summed up for us, really, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he tells us about Jesus. Jesus is in very nature God. He is equal with God. In humility, he took on human form. In every way, he was human, to the extent of dying. And the form of his death was the cruelest form that's ever been known. But he died willingly, not seeking to take any advantage from his godly nature. His death was part of God's plan from the very beginning of redeeming the world from sin and death. And having risen from the dead, Jesus now reigns with God. And one day, all will acknowledge his lordship and bow before him. And for all of us, we all here have a very clear warning. We can acknowledge Jesus' lordship now, or we will all have to acknowledge that when we come before God on the day of judgment. Now, our opinion of Jesus has a great effect on the meaning of Easter and of our celebrations. For those who have accepted Jesus and all he says who he is as their Lord and Savior, it is the greatest celebration of all time. I think, actually, it's an even greater celebration than Christmas. For here, in this celebration, we remember the great love of God and the redeeming work of his Son, Jesus. For on Good Friday, we remember Jesus' death. Now, if Jesus had just been a rebel leader against Rome, his death would have been his expected punishment. If he was just another prophet, well, many prophets before him had died. It was sad, but it happened. If he was a deceiver, his death was well deserved. But if he claims who he is, his death has great consequences. For God, in human form, gave his life for the world, gave his life for you, gave his life for me, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have eternal life with God. This is an expression of the greatness of God's love for us and for the world. It is a love that is overwhelming, and it changes lives. So that if we know that love, we will join with the hymn writer Isaac Watts in words from the hymn I'm sure we will sing next Sunday. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And then on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the victory that Jesus had when he rose again over sin and death, bringing us life eternal with God. Oh, how sad it is if Jesus is not real in our lives and Easter is nothing more than another holiday and an opportunity to gorge on chocolate. But just one more thing. If your celebration of Easter is one of celebrating Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, well, you can have chocolate as well.
First reading is taken from Psalm 118 and can be found on page 616 of the Pew Bibles, verses 1 and 2 and 19 to the end. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you who answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us your success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festival procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
The Holy Gospel can be found on page 988 in your pew Bibles and is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."